As Christians, followers of Christ, believers in Christ, I don't think we fully realize what an all-or-nothing proposition it is. You look at the disciples that followed Jesus for over 3 years. They walked away from their families, jobs, the life that they knew, and they thought they were fully dedicated. But to me, it seems what a paradox to be so committed to a person, Jesus, as they were, and yet so resistant to the ultimate purpose that he came for, going to the cross. They had their own boundaries. Peter, I'm all in, Lord, except you're not going to die. And I would say that without the Holy Spirit, we can dedicate ourselves to the Lord, but we're always going to have certain walls and boundaries, certain areas that we're afraid to really let go of and give to the Lord. And when Jesus spoke with the disciples, and you read John 13 through 17, a very intimate time with them, he said, "It's necessary for your sake that I leave." He was telling them, basically, you're not going to grow anymore just following me around. For your sake, I must leave, but I'll not leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you something, the Holy Spirit. And really, the devotion to Christ, that total commitment that we all want to make and live in, can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we pray to the Lord and we say, I want to be led by the Spirit, we generally are thinking in terms of going left, going right, certain decisions being made, and it involves all that. But more importantly, when we say we want to be led by the Spirit, we're saying, Lord, you can explore and shine your light in my whole life. I'll let go of everything to follow you. It's all or nothing, and because I'm being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will always lead to one place. You're all in. John 6, I read this last week. The disciples asked Jesus what they must do to do the works of God. The work of God is to believe in Jesus. Such a simple statement. That's all. All God's looking for is that we believe in the Christ. But what that requires is laying our entire life before him, open before him, to really benefit. The areas that we hold back from the Lord, and people can be so dedicated with their time, with their money, going to church, doing good things, but areas that we hold back and maybe we're not even aware of, those walls also hinder the blessing and release and deliverance that God wants to bring our way. We don't know how to dedicate ourselves, but the Holy Spirit does. All we need to do is say, Holy Spirit, I turn my life over to your leading. And he'll bring us to the being all in our devotion to Christ. Paul expressed this in Philippians 3. He said, all the things I once thought were important are gone from life. They're insignificant compared to the high privilege of knowing Jesus Christ as my master. If any of you have something else in mind other than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. Paul refers to anything less than a total commitment as we're not seeing things correctly. Because when we're all in and we've given everything to him, we have the very life of the Father and the Son flowing through us. We've discovered our purpose for this earthly journey. And we will express what God wants expressed through our life. These are things we can never figure out with our mind. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal them and open the destiny up. You look at the life of Paul, and he could not be dissuaded from the truth of Christ, of who Christ was and his dedication, by enemies that persecuted him, his own Jewish fellow people, the people that he was a part of, the Pharisees, people that were his friends, now were his enemies and wanted him dead because he was devoted to Christ. They couldn't persuade him to do anything less than what he was doing, which was laying down his life. He said, I'm a drink offering. I'm poured out for the body of Christ. His enemies persecution didn't affect him. Also his friends. You read in the book of Acts, a prophet came to Paul and said, you're not to go to Jerusalem, because when you go there, I saw in the Spirit, you're going to be in bondage. You're going to be turned over to them. And this prophet was afraid for Paul's life. And the disciples rallied together and they said, Paul, don't do this. Don't go to Jerusalem. Paul said, what are you talking about? I don't care about this life. I'm going to go there so I can shine the light of Christ. So even his friends and the ones that he looked to couldn't persuade him to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's the kind of commitment we want. What God has made real to our heart, we're wholly committed to. We can't be persuaded otherwise. Now, this kind of dedication, when it's done right, when the Holy Spirit has done a work in us, there's a humility with us. I know through the church, through the years, a lot of people have been very dogmatic about what they believe. And it's been a real turnoff to many people in the world. And the reason for the turnoff, I don't think is the scriptures or the truth, so much as it is there's an arrogance and a pride that comes through. Because we can be rigid in our doctrine, and Christ isn't coming through to touch other people's lives. He can only be seen through a humble heart, because that's where God lives. So when we talk about being all in and devoted to Christ, there's a humility that's worked in our hearts. And people can feel that dedication, but they're not put off by it. It's an invitation to open up to the love of God. Some people that don't want the truth of Christ, of course, are going to persecute that. But I think a lot of persecution that's come the church's way has not been because people don't want God. They just don't want the religious spirit and the arrogance that they feel. So devotion in humility equals light coming through us. In Matthew chapter 14, we find the disciples being sent by Jesus across a lake in a boat, across a sea, and they encounter storms. And we'll just stop right there, because it's interesting, when we're led by the Spirit of God, somehow we start this journey with the idea that that means there won't be any storms. If I do everything right and God's leading me, I'll be problem-free. That's not the way it is. And of course, everyone here has been around long enough to know that's the truth. You're being led by God, your boat's going the right direction, but there's still storms that you encounter. Jesus was walking on the water. And they looked out, and when they saw him, it says they were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. Sometimes we can be so swallowed up with our circumstances and problems that the fear that's there blocks us from seeing where the Lord is. He's always walking toward us. But if the storms are affecting you and fear is in your present in your life, it can block your awareness of who's coming toward you. And Jesus speaks to them and says, don't be afraid. As the Lord comes to us, as we're going through these storms, the word of God is always in the air being spoken to heal our fears. Don't be afraid. There was power in what he was saying. Now, God, I don't see as giving us an escape plan out of storms, or to build a better boat. And that's what religion's all about. You know, make yourself stronger, a better version of you. The storms will be less. Pray the storms away. No. We just need to see the Lord coming to us and accept that living, powerful word that brings an end to our fears. His perfect love casts out fear. As he's walking on water toward us, he wants the fear element gone. The storms eventually will cease, but first he deals with our fears. Now he's walking toward the boat, and Peter wants to get out and walk toward him. I think this is very important. The Holy Spirit will always strive to get us out of the boat. The boat is our life. The boat is our religion. The boat is our security. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a believer in a boat, because a lot of people follow the Lord that way. Lord Jesus, I'm going to believe in you, but I want my own life. I want to be contained. There's certain things I want to hold on to. But when we listen to the Holy Spirit, it's going to be like with Peter. The Holy Spirit says, get out of your comfort zone. You see Jesus walking on water. You see that he's walking over circumstances. You see the supernatural realm he's in. That's where I want you. The Holy Spirit will always lead us out of fear into that supernatural plane where we can walk in the Spirit. Now, as Peter is walking, what happens? He starts to look at the water and he sinks. We have a real struggle with this. Again, we have these preconceived ideas that if the Spirit of God is leading me, I will never sink. Well, no, your human nature doesn't go away because you're walking on water. You're still human. And God will allow you to sink, but not drown. Because when we sink, we look up and say, Jesus, help me. All the long religious prayers go out the window. When you're worried about drowning, all you're saying is, Lord, you got to be real. You're the only one to get me out of this. And that's part of the supernatural walk in the Spirit. But otherwise, if we didn't have the times of sinking, you know what would happen? We would rely on our own self. We'd go back to that independent will and saying, I can do it. I'm strong enough now. Holy Spirit in me, I'm able to do it. Well, God lets you sink to humble you and let you realize that your life is totally reliant on him. Unless the grace of God comes to lift us up, we can't continue to walk on water. But that's the whole point. God wants us on a daily basis to be aware of his grace and his mercy. That's how we walk with him. Jesus continued walking till he came in the boat. What happened when he got into the boat? The storm stopped. We've been in stormy weather for a long time, and the kingdom of God is going to put an end to it. But first, he wants us and a people to walk out toward him, to know the reality of being led by the Spirit, to know the reality of being led out of that fear nature and learning to trust God. That's being all in, totally devoted to him. And when he has that quality of heart with his people, then any storm that we see in the world today will be put to rest. All authority will be released to bring this earth back into a restored state, as we're believing for. Amen. Bless your hearts this morning.